This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. Today we're going to be speaking about our favorite topic, Obamacare. It seems to me, Dave, that we've already talked about it ad nauseum almost, that the promises they made are not coming to pass. But my favorite, and the ones that I think that are still not being brought to the forefront, is the fact that this doesn't serve the middle class and the working class, this entire bill. It's about taking them out of the game completely.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what's
happened just in the past few days with the unions waking up.
Yeah, whatever. I don't really have a lot of sympathy for the unions because they thought it was all about them and they were special. And they're the ones that got in bed with Obama at the beginning of this fiasco. Those were one of the five groups that were up in there. The unions, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical insurance industry, hospital corporation, the stupid AMA, which should be put out of business, and AARP. These are the people, the corporate interests, that were gung-ho and, in my opinion, most likely wrote this bill, all in design to make them the only players in the game so that they could capture 1/6 of the economy. And the government was all for that because people would have to pay taxes into the government coffer for them to do whatever they do, which is not what you think they're going to do. I mean, we have so many indications of this. Social Security, where people have been paying since they were working. You know, I've been paying since I'm 16 years old. I'm probably never going to see it. And those people who actually worked hard in the mindset that I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to work hard now so I can enjoy the fruits of my labor later. You've got all these losers coming in and telling them that, well, you need to give up more money because it's not yours or it's not fair that people who didn't work are sharing a piece of this pie. And worst of all, people who aren't even citizens are sharing a piece of this pie. And you should feel bad because somehow you're wrong, you're racist. I love that. Whatever it is, it's your fault. I'm just speechless that people are so mannerable, gullible. I don't know what the word you want to use. The problem is they're sitting here and taking it and asking for more. Now, I understand the people who've never paid into the system. There's something in it for them. I can understand why they would want this system, they think, to come online. And I understand why they're being ginned up to believe that something was taken from them, so they're owed something. You know, it's human nature. I assume people want something for nothing, and they feel good about themselves. Unfortunately, that's probably the society more than it's human nature, I think, at this point. But for those who actually, I don't know, who actually played this game with the mindset, I'm going to play it by the rules, I'm going to play it fair, and they're getting the short end of the stick, why are they silent? I just question that. And that goes along with seniors, doctors, patients, Americans, who were sitting here feeling like, and let's go this whole Trayvon Martin thing, I didn't want to really broach it, but this racist call for everybody who is against this or who actually is a critical thinker is somehow racist needs to stop. And the longer that people stay silent and they're cowed into obedience because of bullying, which is what this is, then these people are going to continue this nonsense. And their goal is to gin up race discontent and I think riots. And I think this all leads towards more centralized power. Because we can't take care of ourselves.
I just wrote a thing on Facebook that there's a scary thing happening right now. And, you know, I think it will boil ultimately into the street riots. But what's happening right now is a lot of white folks are being attacked. And if a black person had a, I supported Trayvon,
they'd be attacked too. But that's bullying, 101.
Yeah, and so, but I think that, you know, and I, on my thing, I said, you know, if you don't have a carry license, get one. If you don't have a weapon, get one, and walk in groups. Don't. One of our hosts, their son was attacked. His girlfriend, he and his girlfriend were walking back to their apartment. Nice area, Buckhead. And they were held up at gunpoint. And, you know, this is, I don't know what the answer is. I know what the part of the problem is, and it started back in the mid-60s with Lyndon Johnson. You can't give people something for nothing. You can't promote bad behavior and give them, you know, I'm sorry, I don't care what color anybody is. To give somebody something for nothing, to give them for having kids and without father, you know, in households, to reward them for having kids, this is wrong. And this is a lot of where our problem is.
I think you have to think of the bigger picture. Where is this all trying to go? And it's about centralization. And if your father is now the government, it's Medicaid, it's food stamps, and that's the head of the household, no matter what color you are, then by definition it breaks up the family. You know, using black folks as an example, I mean, it's 70% one-parent households now. This didn't just start in a vacuum. This started, and it's probably, you're right, under Lyndon Johnson's era, where you had to say you didn't know where your father was, where the father was, in order to get social services. It makes no sense. Why don't you keep the family together? If you really wanted to, you could have made this a system where, you know, everybody needs some help at some point. I do not have a problem with that. Make a time limit for it.
Oh, no.
All right? You have this much time to get yourself together and get off. And let's make it easy for you to keep the family together. You don't have to say you don't know where the dad is. You don't have to give up your job because you price out of coverage. Supplement it so people can get their feet under them. This is not about that. And that's what makes me really angry about the situation, is that it's about learned helplessness. It's about never getting off of this dole. Generations of people, white, black, green, indifferent, are on welfare for generations. One kid, the mom, the kid, the grandmother. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
It's almost like they teach classes in it.
Well, it's, again, think about it. I mean, I actually wrote a paper on this when I was in college about the fact that the state takes on the role of the caregiver, and it rewards you for bad behavior, like you said. So the more children you have, the more money you get. You're never inclined to stop having them because it's your source of income. And even when you want to try to get off, you've got so much encumbrance and so much responsibility, you actually can't go and get the job because you need to take care of your children. Then you add in the fact that there's no real social services that help people be independent. What about daycare? What about supplemental money for parents to go to work and someone can take care of their children? That would make sense. Not rewarding sitting at home and having more, watching Maury or whatever people do. It's a waste of taxpayer money. And then you make the mindset of you're a victim, or someone took this from you. You need to get it. You know, there's some, it's fairness about how you're sitting here not contributing, but it's still unfair to you.
Yeah.
And now we're at the point where people are getting, you know, they're not working, but they're making more money in that realm than they are if they were to get a job. Because by the time they pay taxes and now Obamacare, I mean, they're not going to be making anything. They're working 40 hours a week, or maybe, was it 34 hours, whatever they dropped it to. Yeah. And they won't be making anything. So this whole system doesn't make a lot of sense if you really think about it. But it's all driving towards one goal, where the government owns you lock, stock, and barrel from the time you're born to the time you die. They decide what you eat, what school you go to, what you're, and under NDAA, potentially they can decide what job you'll have in this country. You know, I don't know if people realize, but there's an executive order that states that the government can decide, depending on manpower needs, what you actually can be in the society. Maybe they have enough doctors. They want you to be a psychiatrist now. Well, people coming out have to change. You know, they have to go into that. If they want your tractor because it's, you know, for national security reasons, you know what? They can just take it. doesn't matter. You don't have yours anymore. The government can superimpose its will on you. And for those who think that's a good thing, I question them. There's no society where the government owns you that's a good one.
No.
And no matter how they try to pump up people like China, it's still communism. And they still do things to people to make them get along or follow the rule. And it's never really pretty. I mean, like those fake cities in China just gives you an example of how they operate. It's all fine on the surface, but underneath, it's not what people think it is. That's exactly what's happening in our country. And the medical system was the last freestanding economy that we had. And again, you said it perfectly at the beginning of the show, you cannot get something for nothing. There's no way you're going to put 30 million people, and that's really actually not even designed to have 30 million people, to tell you the truth.
No.
Under Obamacare, there'll still be about the same number of people uninsured as there is now. But everybody's going to be paying a lot more.
You know, there's a Dave Smith and I talked about this on his show the other day. We look at the national situation with Obama, but we're being trained to be sheep from every standpoint. I own my home. Well, the bank and I own my home in Sandy Springs, which when I was being brought up, if you owned a piece of property, it was your piece of property. And within reason, you could do anything that you wanted to on it. I can't cut down a bush on my piece of property without going to the arborist at Sandy Springs and getting a permit to cut a tree down.
On your own property?
On my own property. I mean, and it's a lot of paperwork. It's a time-consuming. I mean, this is the craziest thing that I've ever seen or heard of. But it's just one more thing of the government saying, you know, what you think you have really isn't yours.
Exactly. It sounds like you didn't build it. You didn't make it.
And it's like vegetables or, you know, if you paid me a dime for that bag, then I would be a crook and subject to USDA or who knows what. But it's the subtlety, and I think you and I've talked about this once before. This is too big. This is way past Obama. This is way past Congress, in my opinion. And I don't like to mix in religion, but this is all satanical, in my opinion. It's so big and so massive, and I think this is where the challenge will be. And we're seeing. One nation under God can't be said. We can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's massive.
Well, it's globalism. Mm-hmm. You know, we entered the global system, you know, many years ago, but now everything's locking into place. You know, we were the outlier country. You know, we really much ran our own show. You know, the monetarily, everything's based on, I don't know if still is, but at this point, still based on the dollar. You know, we have the premier education system, healthcare system. At one point, we did have democracy at some point in our history. And it's all being taken apart, dismantled, one institution at a time. And under the guise of globalism, we've been made to feel that there's something wrong with us. You know, that we're selfish, that we're mean, that we don't deserve what we have, we didn't work for it. You know, we took it away from somebody else, so therefore we need to be punished. It's the same mindset on the macro scale as what people are feeling and hearing ad nauseum on the micro scale. And this whole verdict is a symptom of that. It doesn't even make sense. At one point, people are saying the prosecution didn't prove it, but you need to have compassion. This is the law. Either you prove it or you don't. Now, had they not overcharged the guy, he might have been convicted. But they wanted to go for the big kill because it had a bigger agenda. And I think gun control was one of the things that they want to try to get out of this. And I guess we can explore that more when we come back. You're listening to Medicine.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and lightweight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat 3 well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with 2 snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment, and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call.
Oh, my God. I just realized I just pointed. It was like a gun up.
You might have to be picked up, Dave. I don't know. It's a terroristic threat. Anytime you actually voice an opinion these days somehow, you're the worst person in the world. And I can't tell people what to do, and I'm not trying to, but please start standing up for yourself, for God's sake. If you are, as I said this before, for those people who try to beat you down by calling you, Uncle Tom or you're a racist, please, I wish someone would try to say that to me so I can say, shut up. I don't care what you think. You don't know me. Walk away. Ultimately, what they're trying to do is make you cower to them, and that makes them feel better. And as long as we as a society of good folks, and there's a ton of us out here, it doesn't matter again what color, what sex, doesn't matter. It's time for us to start speaking up and stop being polite about this. As soon as you shut up, then it gives them the license to continue. These demonstrations that are being set up, so certainly you have a right to assemble. That's part of our Constitution. But this is about intimidation. And they're being made to do it. You know, this is not, as I said to you in the break, this is not an example of racism, this particular verdict, in my opinion. This man, tutored black children, took a black woman to a senior prom, one of his best friends are black, and there's no hint of racism. The case in California where the guy was shot when he was sitting against the wall, and the cop's gun accidentally went off. Now, why is anybody bringing that up as a case? There are plenty, plenty of cases. There's another case in Florida where a domestic violence case where a woman, her husband was coming at her. She shot in the air, not even at him, and she's getting 20 years for that. And nobody says a thing about cases like that. It's all about demonizing gun owners, no matter what.
That and there's no mention of all, except on the internet, of what goes on in Chicago every weekend.
Well, there was one. 4 children were shot dead in Chicago during the course of this Zimmerman trial. Silence. Listen, and I said this to a friend of mine, black-on-black crime is an issue. But if you, and my mom used to say, if you don't respect yourself, nobody will respect you. unless you stop being hypocritical about what's going on within our community, then you can't expect anybody else to really, one, give a damn, and two, your argument rings very hollow when you can only criticize one part that you're trying to gin up, you know, emotion and make robots out of people so they just, you know, literally work against their own interest. I mean, when you see these groups terrorize their own neighborhoods, burn down their own stores, that's not serving them. Who's that helping? It's not helping them. It's totally mindless. And I'm not saying that it's not there's never a time to demonstrate. I'm not saying that. But the way you do it.
You know, it's like, and this is fact. This is not, it's like comparing the Tea Party to terrorists. The Tea Party has never burned any buildings or beaten anybody up or anything else. They clean up after themselves, and they have, and it's all legal. They have every right to do and express their opinion. You know, let me ask, and this is off your subject, and I'm sorry, but it seemed like there's a, for the most part, it goes back to education. You're a very educated woman, which I appreciate and respect. And
I thank my parents for.
And you worked hard. You worked your butt off to get where you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you have every right in the world. And if you decided you wanted to march, I'd respect you for marching down Peachtree or whatever. But I know for a fact it wouldn't. You would have studied all of the facts of whatever before
Absolutely.
You stepped out in the street. Not you, but the man next to you probably would have his pants where they belong, not halfway down his body. And these people, you know, I guess what I'm saying, it seems like it comes to an education situation too, and the. Give me something for nothing, and you drop out of school when you're after the sixth grade or whatever, and you hit the streets. They don't know what they're talking about.
David, it's not even that anymore. It's the folks who stay in school and go to college. They're doing the same thing. The whole education system has gone global, all right? This is globalism, again, 101. My dad was from Antigua, and when I was a kid, I used to go and, you know, they babysat me, and I would go to their summer school. Everybody could read, write. It was just a different experience. Actually, it was very interesting to me. Now you've got kids. It's just like being in the United States. They're talking about putting them on ADD medication. They can't do math. It's some sort of new math that the parents don't even understand. They're coming out and they're not...
No cursive writing?
I'm not sure if they're at that point yet, but they're moving. They're moving mm-hmm. towards that. They have this curriculum that's globally based, and now the government's on the hook for the cost of these books, which how much can it possibly cost for books? But it's putting the country in the red, and these kids know nothing, and they're coming out. It's the same thing as United States. I think there's a disconnect. I have more in common with a senior citizen than I do with someone in their 20s at this point. We can't speak about the same literature. We can't speak about, you know, history. We can't speak about a lot of things. They don't know anything. They don't even know how to critically think. And that's what it comes down to. There is no critical thinking. As soon as they passed that No Child Left Behind, that was a global agenda. That was to dumb us down to a level that we could be taken advantage of. It's been on point now for, what, about 15, 20 years maybe? Something along those lines. And the test scores have gone down. They've had to change what the grading system is just to make it appear that kids are passing. You've got people who think cheating is okay. College kids think that cheating is okay. There's no ethics. There's no moral. It's by any means necessary. And then it gets totally ingrained by society. You've got New York. I'm almost embarrassed to say I'm from New York. You've got Spitzer and you've got Wiener, who should never be anywhere near anything political again. And they may win, what's going on? I mean, it's gotten so ridiculous up there that the madam that he used to, you know, buy his tricks from is running against Spitzer. It's hysterical. I almost want to vote for her because at least I think she knows how to run an economy. But, I mean, it's just, what kind of joke is this? And you've got the government flouting laws constantly. And then when you call them on them, they're like, oh, well, you just don't know what you're talking about or you're stupid. It's like right in your face. You just lied to me. You just did something that's against the Constitution, but there's something wrong with me. You have no scruples about getting up and talking nonsense. I mean, even that Jay Carney, that press secretary, talked about Obamacare. I mean, it's falling apart. It never was designed to work. You're now going to carve out, and again, we talked about the beginning of the show, how the middle class are getting the raw end of this deal. You're going to allow big business to implement this a year later, but you're going to keep the individual mandate intact. And that means that you guys out there who don't have health insurance now will be forced into an exchange to pay whatever the going rate is. And if you live in places like California or Oregon, UnitedHealthcare just pulled out of California's market. That's one less insurance company to compete. And Oregon only has one insurance company in its exchange. So you tell me how much money you're going to be paying and liking it. Because if you don't, you're going to get dinged with a fine. $600 a year. Maybe that's not a lot if you have a couple jobs. But if you work at McDonald's or if you work as, you know, a worker who's not unionized, that's a lot of money. That's groceries. That's your car payment. That's something that you actually need, that this money just goes into a sinkhole that will be used against you. I mean, and then after you pay that $600, or I should say, let's say you pay into this exchange, then you have the privilege of paying up to $2,500 more for the calendar year before the insurance kicks in. Welcome to insurance for those of us who actually carry it. It's not what people think it is. You might as well get Aflac, and I say this like a mantra. Get Aflac, because at least when you get sick, they have to cut you a check back. They actually pay you to stay healthy, as opposed to insurance companies. Capture your premium, and then decide all sorts of ways that they don't have to pay it out. And now, my favorite, I got dinged myself with a managed care deduction. I don't even know what that is, but they took about 30% of my allowed amount for managed care deduction. And I didn't have any say-so on it. So it's happening to doctors, too. And it's happening to doctors who take Medicare and Medicaid. You know, they've already started deducting this Obamacare tax. They don't tell you. It just shows up in your explanation of benefits. And good luck finding anybody to explain to you where that money went. So we're all on the hook for this. Doctors, patients. The only people who are going to get a windfall from this is the government down the road. Because the insurance companies will be working for them down the road. But right now, they're living large, you know, they're capturing more lives, and now the hospitals are on point to get a piece of this pie because they've decided they're going to have their own insurance company. So what we've seen now is majority of independent hospitals becoming a system, multiple systems in cities. We've got cardiac centers, we've got orthopedic centers, we've got all these super specialty hospitals now popping up. They've gotten rid of their competition by buying them or putting them out of business, and that means for me as a surgeon, surgery centers gone, now being owned by hospitals, no more certificate of needs being allowed. So if I wanted to open a surgery center in my office or get together with a group of doctors and open it, I couldn't do it because they've disallowed it, because the hospitals had so much power that they whined that they were going to be put out of business if they had competition. And of course, they had deeper pockets, and they won. So now we're in a position where you've only got a few places to go. When they kick in their insurance, you're going to have to take their insurance for Piedmont or Emory or whatever, and you're going to have to be in their system whether you like it or not. I've had colleagues, this is how mercenary this is, have to go back into the hospital system, have to become affiliated ancillary employees just to keep their practices open because they realized that once the hospitals open their insurance, they won't get to see any patients because most of them get referred from the hospital. What kind of nonsense is that? So now you're beholden to the hospital. You are at their mercy. You are now a slave, and good luck to you. And that means now, instead of you being able to set your own prices, potentially, you're going to be running with the hospital fee for service, which is much higher. And the patients are going to be waiting longer. Because there's only a certain number of doctors available. There's only a certain number of spots available for appointments. And trust me, I know I would be the same way. Once you give me a paycheck, because it's human nature, when it's 501, you're not doing anything extra for me. I'm not going to offer any new services. I'm not getting paid for it. The hospital's taking all the windfall. I'm just a technician. I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to go home. And that's what you're getting. It's just, it's a cookie cutter system. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you Insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George, and we're talking today about perception and reality of the government, of Obamacare, and race relations. I mean, we're going all over the place today.
Well, you know, I think we're forced to. And,
yeah.
And you know, as I mentioned, I think this is satanic, and for lack of better words, you got to give the devil his due. If you step back, just like you said, look at the big picture. You step back. It's not Obamacare. It's not this. It's not the economy. It's not IRS. It's not NSA. It's not Benghazi. I mean, this guy and his organization have disrupted everything. And just like we're doing, they promote race discrimination. I mean, he's the most racist person I've ever seen in my life. You know,
and, you know, don't leave the liberals out. They're right up there with him.
Oh yeah!
All those plants on MSNBC, whether they be black or white, they have the same agenda, and I find it to be condescending and racist. If you're a woman, if you're a minority, you're too stupid and unsophisticated, and you know you just need someone, a mommy, to tell you what to do. You know, you need to get out there and march, take your bedroom slippers off, stop whining. You know, all these idiotic things that are said to people as if they're morons, and they sit there and go, okay, don't talk to me like that. My parents didn't talk to me like that. I don't expect you to talk to me like that. You who, all of them, who actually work on nepotism, cronyism, to get ahead and lock out people who actually do contribute to society. This is a total cartel, and I don't care if it's the Congress, the people in state government, they're all in collusion with this. There's a, now in California, you know, they have this, you know, these cameras that stop you and they give you tickets. Well, I think it's California or Colorado that the people in the state government are grandfathered out. They don't have, that doesn't apply to them. They can go through all the traffic lights they want to, but they will never be picked up or cited. What kind of crap is that? How do you have laws that only apply to people, but not to people who make them? And this is constant now.
Yep.
It's not like a little bit, you know, before it's like, maybe it's an aberration. I'm not happy about it. But no, I think this is actually, this is set in stone. It's on purpose. The healthcare bill, if you want to call it that, didn't apply to these people. They thought they were immune to it. That's why the unions got in bed with it, because it wasn't going to apply to them. They were going to keep their Cadillac plan and have everything carve out for them. Another reason, another example of how this doesn't work for middle class, is that now that you have to pay this Obamacare premium in order to join, it's not tax deductible. Back in the day, when I was covering my employees because I could afford to do so, I was happy to do it because it was a tax deduction on top of it, because it was a business expense. They didn't have to pay anything. I paid the whole thing and loved it. When they took, under Obamacare, it's gone. I have to pay for my employees, but I can't write it off. They have their contribution, which they can't get out of because it's being deducted directly from their paycheck. It is not right. You can't write it off. It's not a health expense. It's not a personal deduction. It's a tax. And who benefited from that? It wasn't people in Congress who could care less, who were getting, I'm paying for their health insurance and my own, and they get better health insurance than I do. And they had the nerve, unmitigated gall, to whine about how it wasn't fair that their pages and their assistants were not going to be able to keep their health insurance the way they had it. They were going to have to come back down with the rest of us. And they had the nerve to say it wasn't fair. Someone should go up there and throw some eggs. I mean, really. But if we don't say something, they have so much contempt, disdain for us that we're so stupid that they can just do what they like. And then when we start to make a little noise, you know, speak down to us and just try to placate us like we're morons. And those people who buy into this because they don't critically think, because it's all about emotion, because for some reason they're perpetual victims, and no matter what it is, it's always against them. Nobody takes responsibility for themselves at all. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't work that way. I mean, I hate to change the subject, but this is a perfect example. I was watching the show last night, screaming at the TV. It's called Obese and Pregnant. I mean, just imagine this, the title alone, right?
What was the show?
Obese and Pregnant. It's on TLC. I know. So I'm watching this thing. The woman's 400 pounds, and she's complaining about how bad she feels and how she can't breathe. And I'm like, oh, my God. First of all, take responsibility. It didn't just happen in a vacuum. You're 400 pounds. I mean, really? And then every single one of them had a complication. Everybody had a C-section. Babies were in incubators. It was a lot more trauma to both the mom and the baby than it had to be. But no one ever said, well, maybe I shouldn't have eaten this much. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten to this position. No one said that. It was like, well, I don't know why this happened to me.
As she's really? Eating a Twinkie.
No, actually one was slathering a hoagie with mayonnaise. You know, maybe that's why you have an issue.
Okay, well, all right. Let's dig a hair deeper. Was she a college graduate?
These are all normal women. They were all educated. They weren't sitting in, you know, some situation where they have husbands. They had, and the husbands were not svelte either. But it's the choices that people make.
How do you get to them? What size of 2x4 do you have to hit them upside the head with?
Obamacare. It's Obamacare 2x4. That's what's coming for them. And I thought about this, and I said to myself, you know, when people start paying into Obamacare, there's going to be a lot less compassion in this society, because they're going to be looking at these folks and going, I'm paying for you, and you've got this disease, and you're costing me money. I'm not liking that. And they're going to be rude about it. You know, you got cancer because you smoked, and I'm hearing it already. You got cancer because you smoked. You shouldn't be covered. You're obese. You know, let's make sure that
smoking is the tobacco company's fault.
Please. Okay.
You had no choice. The tobacco company forced you to buy their cigarettes.
It just goes on and on. Now we're seeing that this is all a big, huge web, right? You've had folks who sit around now who are paying. These are liberals, too, actually. You know, we all have to take care of each other. We're our brother's keeper. Well, now we should turn off the EBT, electronic benefit cards, for those folks who are obese, because they shouldn't be buying soda and cakes and blah, blah, blah. This is where it comes to. You're going to say people are going to now be up in arms, clamoring for more government control over behavior. They're going to do that. They're going to turn off the EBT cards for cigarettes and alcohol and anything fattening. And they're going to check your BMI. And, of course, when you go to the doctor for your once-a-year check, which is free, they're going to track your BMI and they're going to flag your butt. And then when you are over that little magic number, they're going to watch you and monitor you and actually nitpick to death your behavior. And you might actually get carrots and sticks for it. First it's the carrot, then it's the stick. And as long as you are on government assistance in any form and you have an electronic version of money where, you know, a card, they can turn it off. All these barcodes are for reasons, right? They can scan, and that's not going to scan, so you can't buy X.
And then what's going to happen? Then they're going to start robbing. Then there'll start be more crime.
Well, then that's when you have government and more police, and because you're all disarmed now, you can't fight for yourself. I mean, this is really dystopian. I mean, you watch these sci-fi movies and shows, they're not that far out of the realm of possibility. And I think that they're all psyops in some manner to kind of desensitize people to what's coming. And it's cool to have a barcode on your neck and all this other nonsense. I mean, from a social perspective, there are people who actually get chipped, who get microchipped, who have barcodes tattooed on themselves like it's cool.
Hello, Revelation?
Yeah, possibly. But since they don't probably believe in God, it doesn't matter to them. But ultimately, everything that's happening is not in a vacuum. And when people, you know, drop into the mindset of going along, getting along, and what's popular and what's trendy, then usually what ends up is that they're hurting themselves and that they are letting themselves fall into a position where someone's going to dictate to them. If that happens, we're in trouble. And as long as we sit here and not fight for ourselves, not stand up for ourselves, and be cowed by people who don't have our best interests at heart, I don't think there's, you know, labels aside, people who believe that they know what's best for you and that they get to decide what your behavior is should not be in power. I mean, that's the whole point of democracy. That's the whole point of this country. This country is based on individualism. And now it's a bad word. And you're right, from education standpoint, it's never about the individual anymore. It's about the collective whole. No more valedictorians in certain schools. No more individual awards. No more, presents for the birthday person, the birthday child. Everybody has to have a present. I mean, because they'll feel bad about themselves if they lose. I mean, come on. These are the people who are running things now. They deserve to lose. They never did. They got rewarded. They're failing upward. And the only way they can make themselves feel better is to make sure they lock out the competition so they don't ever have to be, you know, brought to account. When you have to really compete on a fair, on an even playing field, the people who are good rise to the top if they're ever given a chance. And I don't care what color you are. No. And that's the whole point of civil rights, is to give everybody a fair chance. Those that can't, won't. And those that can, will. You know what? This is my mantra now. Stop whining. Just get better. Work harder. Do what you're supposed to do and stop depending. Stop glomming on to people who are actually doing something.
Got a question for you when we come back. Well, I'll just ask it before we leave. I would go to the bank. I would go to war for anything that you said. But the people that are followed are the Stevie Wonder fans and the Tony Braxton fans. So I want your take
you
on that when
me?
We come
I'm
back.
I'm going to not go to Florida because Stevie Wonder doesn't want to go?
Yeah.
Sign
we'll
me
be
up,
back
okay?
Right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Dave and I are having a scintillating conversation in the break that we can't share, but... You know, I think you talked to me about asking about Stevie Wonder. Listen, my only answer to all of that is find God, okay? Because there's nobody that I look up to or idolize except for God. And my parents were the second and third people or entities that I actually looked up to. All these Hollywood folks, these political types, they're human beings, and they have multi frauds and foibles, and they're all in heaven, part of an agenda that's trying to make us, how can I put it, lead us against our own best interests. Does Alec Baldwin or Stevie Wonder put food on your table? This is what you should think about when they preach to you. Instead of you going by what they say, because they never do what they say, they don't live by that same code. Ask yourself if they put food on your table. Do they pay your mortgage? Do they pay your child's school bill? You know, do they put money in your pocket? And the answer to that is no. Kim Kardashian doesn't do those sorts of things. They live questionable lifestyles. They promote questionable behavior. And they've been rewarded for things that are actually distasteful. How can you make a porn and end up to be a multimillionaire and supposedly an idol for women? That is outrageous. But as long as we sit here and believe that nonsense, then this is what we're going to get. Stop buying their records. Stop watching their shows. It's like we're feeding this whole system because we do it because it's cool, because everybody's talking about it at the water cooler. Why doesn't someone have the guts to say, I can't believe you watched that. What's wrong with you? You know, that would stop. Since everybody wants to be liked, that's the other problem that we have. Everybody wants to be part of the in crowd and liked and cool. And we're going in the wrong direction. If you're asking to be part of that whole, you're moving away from yourself, from your family, from God in most cases. And I don't think it's appropriate. I choose not to do that. And I can see how this is working. It's not going to be in our future. It's not going to be for us.
You bring up a very interesting point that has upset me with, and I'm pretty far away from organized religion, in that our ministers should be standing in the pulpit delivering messages, you know, and they're so scared of getting their 501 cut off, baloney. They should be the ones that should be taking the stand. When our country was formed, who were the leaders of you know, it was the ministers, the preachers, the hellfire and brimstone, you know. And that's what we should have. And I'm extremely disappointed that, with a few exceptions, Manning being one.
He's independent.
Few exceptions. Do right. I know of any Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian and actually the Catholics have been the only one that sort of have taken a stand.
Now they've got issues too. So, you know, the priest issue and the pedophile issue, that's ingrained. And I'm Catholic, by the way. That's ingrained in the church, and there's lots of problems. But you're mentioning
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I am actually. What's really interesting about this is that it's the same game plan. It's about compromising people. As soon as you throw money at somebody, as soon as you own them, their pocketbook, then you own them. This is being reproduced over and over again. The church has got their 501. Now they preach globalism and climate control, and you should feel badly if you drive a SUV, all sorts of things that are part of the globalist agenda. That's what they're preaching.
Agenda 21.
Absolutely. And then you have doctors now that have been through the hospitals and through the whole system, now forced to collude with the system because peer review will come after them, or they can't afford to keep their practice open, so they have to take a paycheck from the hospital, or they just drop out altogether. So now the voice of the doctor as the advocate for the patient is being subdued. It's being completely removed from the equation. Then you add in all of the outsourcing of doctors coming into the system, lots of foreign graduates, tons of healthcare extenders who don't have the same education training as a doctor does, and therefore will be more likely to follow an algorithm and follow a protocol set up for them by the hospital because they don't know anything else. That's what we're dealing with, and it's about the money. The hospitals have the money flows to the hospitals. They're about to get a rude wake-up call because under Obamacare, as we talked before, they're going to have money clawed back a lot more than's coming in unless they play the game by the letter of the law. 31 days, you're not readmitting anybody, but less than that because you won't get paid for it. That's why they have the accountable care organizations. That's why they have the hospital satellite clinics with the hospital doctor's offices being linked to the hospital, because they want to manage you on the outpatient setting as much as they possibly can so they can avoid the readmission so they don't get dinged with the cost. So it's about money. It's all about money, and it's about who has it and how they keep it and how they make sure they don't have competition that they're going to have to share it with. And the magic word was independent. You mentioned Reverend Manning. He's got his own church. He's not affiliated with the diocese. He doesn't have to play politics with them. You talk about other pastors. They're literally getting their money from the government, and they're going to have to jump through the hoop. That means in some places, take the crosses out. Stop talking about Jesus Christ. You're a Christian. How on earth can you take a crucifix out of your church? What kind of person are you? And the people who sit there and every Sunday.
What kind of
Sunday,
place is Notre Dame when they have to cover all of the?
I mean,
because
really?
Obama comes.
Yeah, that's outrageous. It's sacrilegious, and they should be. I wouldn't give a dime if I were an alumna of that school. I wouldn't give them a dime, because ultimately, if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. And as long as money rules people, what is it? Money's the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money itself, the love of it, and that's what this society is being driven by. The Congress is being paid off. The local governments are being paid off. You know, ALEC, that's the, I guess it's the lobbying organization for big corporate interests that are now putting in local government senators and congressional people to vote their way. So in the past, you used to say, okay, the federal government may be against me, but I'm going to work with my local government. Well, now that's been demonized and bastardized so that they're working against you. Where do you think all these taxes are coming from? You just described paying a tax to cut a tree down. I'm sure that came from some corporate interest.
You have to get in Sandy Springs, Georgia, you have to get permission to cut a tree down on your own property. I can understand to some extent if you've bought a large tract, if you're a business and bought a large tract of land and you're going to clear it for housing and cut down all the trees, well, yeah, you should have some type of overseeing of that. But my neighbor had a tree struck by lightning, split in half, and he had to jump through hoops before he could have it cut down and turned into firewood. And, it was going, it's just crazy. Do you own your own property or not? And
well,
if
actually,
I own my own property.
You probably don't. If you actually
exactly.
have the bank who has a note with you on your house. You saw this under the whole fiasco with the housing market. They actually didn't have deeds on folks' homes. They didn't have paperwork, and they were allowed to seize them when they didn't have the legal right to do so, and the government sanctioned it. That, to me, was the actual the bellwether, the actual truth that you don't own your home and the banks can do whatever they like because they're part of the in crowd. And so unless people really, really wake up and realize that they don't care about your health, they don't care about your family, they care about controlling you by any means necessary, then you're going to continue to be a victim in the system. But we still have the power if we stop playing the game. People ask me a lot of times, how do you stop Obamacare? Well, you don't forget about the government. I don't trust them to do anything. But if we as individuals don't sign up for these exchanges, it'll die on the vine. It will not make it. Pay your $600 for whatever years you have to do it, and it'll die. That's how you do it. Find an independent physician. Stay the heck out of the hospital setting. Try to stay out of an ER and go to an urgent care. Starve the beast. They only understand when money's involved. So if you stop paying into the system will die, and they'll make changes in order to get you back, in order to placate you. But in this case, they wouldn't be placating us. They'd actually be doing what we want them to do. Stop voting. You know, ultimately, the system is rigged. Don't play the game. I voted since I was 18, pretty much every year. I'm not getting what I'm voting for. And ultimately, the people who are up for, you know, that I have to vote for, they're all the same. So maybe if we stop voting for these people, they can stop rigging these elections and putting these same losers in, and we would actually get some choice. That's what it comes down to. Stop depending on someone else to take care of you. Stop waiting for someone else to do it. Everybody's their own hero. People say to me when I do when I do radio spots, you know, interviews, that I'm really brave. No, I'm not. I'm standing up for what I have to stand up for because I have a conscience, I have ethics, I have morals, and I can't live this way without, I mean, it may not happen the way I want it to happen, but I can sleep at night and say I did what I was supposed to do to let people know, to actually force them, hopefully, to think, to take a second look. Don't trust anything I say. Go and look it up like I did. It took me years to get to the point that I woke up, but it's not impossible to do. It's not going to be, if you stick your head in the sand, it won't get better. It's just like having a disease. The more you ignore it, doesn't make it go away. It just makes it worse.
Well, Dr. George, this has been a very good show as always. And I do appreciate, a lot of folks appreciate your opinion and look to you and count on you. And 3 seconds, tell us about the surgery that you do, the new.
Well, I've started doing balloon sinuplasty, which is sinus dilation, which is, again, my method of keeping people out of the hospital and lowering their costs and fixing the problem so they don't have to be stuck on sinus medication and steroids and have to go into a hospital situation where they're going to be paying thousands of dollars, $30,000 for a sinus surgery in a hospital setting versus a fraction of that in the office with you back in business the next day, not out for a week or two, and it's permanent. So I'm not fixing something that's going to, you have to come back next month to get a tune-up for. It's done. And I think that's what medicine, the future of medicine is about, fixing the problem in a cost-effective way that's patient-centered, patient-friendly, and doesn't buy into this big business, corporate-driven system that we're in. And so if you have any questions, you should call my office, 404-591-9100, and I'd be happy to give you more information.
We'll be back next week with Medicine On Call with Dr. Elena George.